Hi, everyone. I'm Michelle Boyd Waters with the Rethink Your Lifestyle podcast. I'm here today with my guest, Patricia, with Oy Korchinski from Patricia.com and PageThePuppet.com. Patricia is someone I've known online since the early 2000s, and I've been able to watch her grow and reinvent herself as a marketer over time. What has remained consistent is her commitment to helping local businesses, so I knew I had to ask her to be on the show. But first, I want to share with you some of the plans and the works at Rethink Your Lifestyle. Our little Facebook group is growing every day. We're having some fun getting to know each other, but also learning some of the basics of starting and marketing an online business. You can find us by going to facebook.com and searching for Rethink Your Lifestyle. We have a page and a group, so please like the page and join the group. I can't wait to meet you. I've also written a free report to help you turn your business ideas into reality. If you're still trying to figure out what to do, download Discover Your Passion and the People Who Will Buy From You at rethinkyourlifestyle.com/discoveryourpassion. In the meantime, let's get our podcast started.
Are you ready to take control of your life? Then you've come to the right place. The Rethink Your Lifestyle podcast is here to help entrepreneurs like you start, grow, and scale the online business you love. Join host Michelle Waters as she shares her journey from the classroom to the freedom of being her own boss. She'll interview inspiring entrepreneurs and share tips and insights along the way. All right, without any further ado, let's get this show started.
Welcome back to Rethink Your Lifestyle. I am Michelle Waters, and I'm here with Patricia with a Y. Welcome.
Thank you, Michelle. So excited to be here.
I'm excited that you are here and happy to be able to talk with you again. Gosh, we've known each other for what, 20 years almost?
It has to be at least 17 or 18 years.
Absolutely. Now, I understand that you are a small local business expert. Right now, you've got a kind of a puppet show on YouTube, which can be found at PageThePuppet.com. And then you have your own website, PatriciaWithAY.com. Tell me a little bit about what it is that you do.
So I consider myself somebody who is here to encourage entrepreneurship. And I do that through education and empowerment. And I do, as you mentioned, do it with a puppet. I am a certified small business coach. I've been through a lot of courses in economic development and in operating, planning, and all of that for a small business. And I just use what I've learned over the years to apply it to creative, independent, small business owners, giving them the tools and skills so that they can build a business that serves their purposes.
And the nice thing about the internet is you're in Canada, I'm in Oklahoma. I've been able to watch your journey over the years as you've worked with local businesses and online businesses. And so, you know, when I was thinking about somebody who can really help that local business or that teacher who's transitioning into, you know, starting a local crafting company or, you know, something where they're trying to reach people in their area, I immediately thought of you.
Well, thank you. I love that I've been able to brand myself in that direction because that really is where my heart is. When it comes to being local, it helps so much within our communities. And as teachers, we can understand this because where does some of our fundraising money come from in the teaching situation is from those small, local, independent businesses. And if we can turn into those businesses, you know, it's so much the better. It really is one of those things. Well, I do love all of the online collections that I've developed over the years. I also believe that we have to start looking. And I think that the pandemic has made that so obvious, is that we have to care for our communities so our communities can care for us.
So we've talked a little bit about teachers, and I know what I'm seeing online and within my local communities is that there are a lot of teachers who are looking into transitioning into another career, and some of those teachers are thinking about, you know, starting their own business. They want to be their own boss and, you know, do what they know they're supposed to do the way they know they're supposed to do it without somebody who doesn't know telling, you know how that works. Talk to me about your experience as a teacher and also as an entrepreneur.
Well, so I have never been a formal teacher. I have been a preschool teacher, a daycare teacher, a teacher's assistant. Working within my ex-husband was a teacher. So I'm coming it from it in that direction, as well as having been a guest speaker on the topics of entrepreneurship at the high school level. So that's where I'm coming in from, and in the aspect of teaching. And when it comes to teachers and helping them transition out of teaching and into their next career, that's something that's been really common over the years, is that there have been challenges, whether it's the politics or whether it is circumstances in life. Teachers have, you know, transitioned out of teaching and into entrepreneurship many, many times over the years. And it is one of those things where it is natural to go from teaching into entrepreneurship, as opposed to getting into another corporate career or, you know, switching gears. And, you know, the beauty of entrepreneurship is you choose your own adventure. It can be anything you want it to be.
Yes, absolutely. And that's exactly what I wanted. I know in the classroom, the skills that I developed there, you know, being able to manage project, manage people, being able to create things, you know, lesson plans and units and, you know, just all of those things that I do, I can take all of those skills into my business. I feel like I'm a better entrepreneur, a better business owner because of my time in the classroom. And I know a lot of teachers that, you know, they look at their time in the classroom, they think that's the only thing I've ever done, and they think that is a deficit. And it's not, right?
It is absolutely not a deficit. Whatever things that you have experienced and things that you have overcome in your career and in your life can be used as skills that you can teach people or that you can apply to a different career. For those who do feel comfortable with teaching, going into tutoring can be a natural progression if that is where you got your juice and your joy from. Because I do believe that it's really important as you move into that next part of the journey that you truly look at what you love and try to find a way to monetize that. That's going to make it a lot easier in the long run if you are going through that transition.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things I'd like to address is that word monetize that you just used. One of the things I've noticed about teachers is they kind of have this wall between themselves and this idea of I'm going to get paid for my time, or I'm going to get paid for my expertise. The idea of monetization or of earning money really just kind of stops teachers in their tracks. What are your thoughts on that?
First of all, to acknowledge it, to acknowledge that as teachers, you have been downplayed within society. We all hear of our transgressions and our lack, not acknowledging that, hey, it took a degree to get this job and all of the other things that go along with it. But we are seen as low level employees in a lot of states. There is nowhere near the pay that should be given to teachers for the job that they do. And so you're coming from a place where you haven't been valued. And there is a process in that moving from employee to entrepreneur that you do have to find a way to internalize that you are worthy of a living wage, of an abundant wage for what you do and what you can do and what you offer the world.
And entrepreneurship is one way to do that. I know it's not kind of like getting a 9-to-5 job where you leave teaching one day and the next day you're earning a paycheck. There's kind of, you got to build up the business. One of the things I recommend doing is starting a business as a side hustle first, which is what I did. I started Rethink ELA
I transformed it from a teacher blog to an educational publishing company in 2017. And so it's something that I've already got going and just need to build on in order to increase my income. One of the things I know, though, is that some teachers leaving the classroom are going to start businesses that maybe have a local component because they're selling some sort of craft that they've created. What is your advice to that teacher who's wanting to reach that local consumer market?
When it comes to the local consumer market, you don't want to overlook the online aspects of the local consumer market. Those are going to be the most frugal ways that you can get your name out there when it does come to that. Networking within the local community, you will find that there are crafting networks, there are groups and organizations, whether they are business groups or craft groups. Those are great places to network. And getting involved within your community and the things that are going on. And if you live in a big city, that would mean things within your neighborhood, because it is an important thing to remember that when you are looking at attracting a local market, most of your market is going to be within 8 miles. So it's going to be people within 8 miles who work within 8 miles of your location, or who live within 8 miles of your location, are going to be your primary customers. So this is for those of you who are perhaps teachers and want to go into anything from coaching to hairstyles, becoming a hair salon person.
Hairdresser,
esthetician, perhaps nails. A lot of women are going into lashes, spray tans. All of these are things that you can only do on a local level. And so when you are looking at those sorts of business opportunities, and when it comes to crafting, you want to look at the fairs and the opportunities. Now, in the time of COVID, this is a little bit mixed up, and there might not be those opportunities that were there, but they will come again. So you want to keep your finger on the pulse of what is going on. When you are involved in the local community, you'll soon find those opportunities. And it is important, if you are in a particular craft or a particular business, you can find information and help specific to your business type in the online environment and then bring it to the local level. For example, when I used to have a day home way, way, way back in the day, I was involved with different daycare groups with daycare providers from all over the world. And so you can use the online knowledge from other places and apply it to your local business as well.
What I'm hearing and what I'm kind of thinking in my own head is, even if you have that local business, you still need that online presence in terms of a website, an email list, social media accounts, and to leverage those networks and those tools to reach that local market.
Absolutely. Those online tools are essential for every business. Now, my fiance is a locksmith, and I had to convince him to set up a website. But the truth of the matter is that a lot of people vet you before they even call you, checking to see if you have a website and if you've paid for this website, because that shows to the consumer that you're a serious business owner. If you don't have a website in the age of 2021, there's going to be some questions in the consumer's mind as to whether you are actually legitimate or not, especially when you are operating, say, a construction company or a service to your local community. You want to make sure that you have at minimum a website. Email lists are a little bit harder to get the local people to sign on to than they are on a general level, just because we are inundated in this day and age with email promotions. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying that you want to be realistic about the results you can expect. in that aspect. And to make sure that one, I mean, as always, the juicier the nugget that you can give to people to sign on to your list, the more effective it's going to be.
And so you need a really good lead magnet or opt-in offer, something that's really going to serve that local customer that they can't get anywhere else, but that they need.
Absolutely. It's a matter of getting to know your customers and really honing in on what they're going to respond to and what's going to get them excited.
Absolutely. And that is something that I think a lot of small business owners forget about. I see a lot of the teachers that are looking at getting into entrepreneurship, you know, talking about what they'd love to do, what they, you know, what kind of niche they want to get into, what they want to do on a daily basis. But I'm not seeing a whole lot of them talking about who are they going to serve.
And that's one of the biggest mistakes out there, whether you are a teacher coming into becoming an entrepreneur or from any other profession. It's one of those key things that is often overlooked. And I have a little saying, it is called know yourself, know your market, never stop learning, and never give up. It's the no, no, never, never theory. Sounds like a temper tantrum, because sometimes you have to have a temper tantrum to get ahead in business. So it's the no, no, never, never theory. And as I said, it's know yourself. So know what you like, what you don't like, what you're good at, what you hate, what you want to avoid, and then knowing your market. You have to have somebody to sell to. If you don't solve a problem, serve a need, you're going to have a hard time selling, because marketing is not about forcing people to buy what they don't want. It's about introducing people to the things that they need to make their life easier or nicer. It has to serve a need in their life if they're going to park their hard-earned dollars with it. So you have to get into the mind of your customer and serve what they are looking for. And then the sales become easy, because yes, you're giving them what they want. And so, yes, that is why it's so important to have a market. Because if you don't have a specific person or niche or somebody that will buy your product from you, you're going to spend so much time and energy looking for them, and that's a waste of time and money. I'm really big. I'm half Scottish, half East Indian, and spending money that doesn't have to be spent is like, it's against my DNA. It hurts me to spend money that doesn't need to be spent. So I'm often focused on those low cost, high impact ways to reach your customers and to gain customers into your fold. And I think that's really important when you're coming from teaching, because often you're starting with not a whole lot of income or money to invest in your business. So you're going to have to think smart and spend the money wisely.
So can you give me an example of one of those low-cost methods of doing this?
It's a combination of publicity, low-cost promotions, networking, and being open to opportunities. So taking it back to publicity, that is getting coverage, whether it is in traditional media or online media. What I'm doing right now is publicity for me and my beliefs, and hopefully people who like what I'm saying will go and check out what I'm doing with Patricia.com and with Paige the Puppet. But even if they don't, it's given me an opportunity to have you get to know me, and yeah, that you, when you run into somebody that needs a small business coach, you'll be able to say, hey, I interviewed a great small business coach on my podcast. So that's as simple as it can be. And again, going back to publicity in the traditional media, our radio stations, our newspapers, our magazines are still looking for stories to tell. And if you can present them with a relevant, newsworthy way that you fit into their customers' lives, they'll be happy to cover you.
Absolutely. And I think teachers transitioning out of the classroom is a pretty big story right now across the nation, across, you know, maybe even a global story.
Absolutely. That's just one thing that a teacher might be able to take advantage of when it does come to getting publicity and coverage within their local community. And again, going back to, I had said that there was also networking. You know, speaking with those people that are within your target market and who know you and love you, you've got so many people that you interact with on a daily basis that, you know, you can let know about what you are doing.
So could you tell us a little bit about Paige the Puppet and Patricia.com and what you do on those sites?
Absolutely. So Paige the Puppet is... she is essentially my mouthpiece for getting out the messages to entrepreneurs. And we cater to creative, independent, small business owners who love puppets and hate direct sales. And so I do a variety of interviews and sharing of strategies on, you know, how to build your business, basically. Similar conversations to what we're having here is what Paige has with her guests, and basically sharing the concepts to build a solid foundation for small business so that people can really, like I said earlier, work towards their dreams. Over the years that I have been a small business coach and been an entrepreneur myself, there are so many ways that people can build strong foundations for a business, but sometimes they get sidetracked and overwhelmed and just feeling lonely in this journey. And there's no need for any of that. There are resources out there, and we are just another voice. Now, the reason that Paige is a puppet and the reason why she is providing all of this is, you know, just a deeper part of the story, in that I was a small business coach for a federally funded nonprofit here locally. It was my dream job. But I also had this vision of creating a puppet show for preschoolers. And it was this whole thing. What happened is we got a new manager at work, and she had decided coming in that my puppets were unprofessional and reflected poorly on our organization. And so I had to make a choice whether I wanted to keep my job or continue with the puppets.
I think we know what we chose.
And so it is an ode to those who are professional in weird ways, because I don't consider anything that I do to be unprofessional. And to this day, I am still gobsmacked by that perception. And so, yeah, I'm sort of using Paige to be my mouthpiece, because I want to inspire creative, independent business owners who might not quite walk that professional edge.
Or that what our society deems professional.
Right. It's like, be yourself, but not that way.
Right. All right. Well, is there anything else that you would like to share with us? Anything that's kind of come up that you're thinking, wow, you know, teachers trying to get out of the classroom and become entrepreneurs really need to know this thing?
I know that right now is a very, very hard time in history to be a teacher. And I know there is the temptation to cut loose, say goodbye, and fly without a safety net. And I would really advise against that. In a lot of ways, it might be hard to hang on, but I believe that if you start as a side gig and build up, you will be much better positioned to be successful in your business than if you dive into it without a plan. I know it's really, really tempting right now to just say goodbye, walk away, burn the bridges, but it's also really important to know that it's really hard to make good decisions when you are in a state of distress. So the best thing that you can do is to try and de-stress and detox as much as possible. Use this time to reach out for support, create a plan, and then make the jump, because you will be much more positioned for success if you do things that way. And if you end up not being able to do that, know that you will be okay as well.
Yes. And even if you have to go get a job in another industry or something to bridge the gap between the classroom and being an entrepreneur, that's okay too.
There is no shame in having a day job. There is no shame in needing time to build solid foundations. Because if you are creating a business that you can take on into your future, that you are going to find joy in, that you are going to be making a profit from, most of all, you do need to prepare and plan for that. It's not going to happen by accident. No matter how many stories you read about people that happen into things by accident, they are stories for a reason, because they are not the norm. And so the norm is to be able to do this in a way that's not going to stress you out and lead to immediate burnout.
We're burned out enough. We don't need to add to it.
Right? You know, you don't want to jump out of the frying pan into the fire. It is not as easy as a lot of people make it seem. It is still hard work to build a business, but it's not nearly as dire as people make it either. It doesn't have to be as risky as a lot of people tend to make it. I would like to point out that there are some people that are drawn to entrepreneurship and who really are going to be successful at it. And there are those who are drawn to entrepreneurship because of a dream. And the reality might not be what you expected, but you can always use all of it for a learning experience.
You had mentioned a moment ago kind of basically was that overnight success story. And one of the things that I've learned is that oftentimes those overnight success stories have years of, you know, working hard and hustling behind that story before that amazing thing happened. I know several years ago, I interviewed a lady who had created a alcohol-free hand sanitizer in her kitchen sink and then proceeded to promote it for 10 years before it ended up in big box stores like, you know, Walmart or what have you. I interviewed her and I thought about that and I realized, you know, you have to put the work in and you have to take advantage of opportunities and basically be in the right place at the right time in order for that amazing story to happen.
Absolutely. And I will tell you that in my experience, and I have been an entrepreneur for, it'll be 25 years as of this coming July. And in those 25 years, what I have learned from watching other people, from my own experience, is that every overnight success story takes at least 10 years to build up to. All of them. And even within the big corporations that you think of, they were all started in the midst of failure. Walmart, who we all love to hate in this day and age, that was his third attempt. That was Sam Walton's third attempt to create a small town department store. He failed twice before that. Henry Ford, the Ford company that we know it today, began with two previous failures for the iteration that we know of today. McDonald's, the man who helped take it to the, you know, across international and all of that, taking it from the two brothers to the franchises, had gone through several failures and bankruptcies in his life before lightning struck. I can't think of many or any business stories that started and maintained and sustained overnight.
Nope. It takes work, and it takes an ability to look at failure and decide how to grow from that.
Absolutely. And, you know, our biggest lessons in life and in business come from those moments of failure. There's actually very little learning and growth that goes on in successful endeavors. It's just the way things work. It's an unfortunate way that things work. I mean, because I would, you know, much rather be able to go from success to success to success and be learning and growing and all of those wonderful things. But unfortunately, the world was not created that way. So some of these struggles that we go through and these growing experiences feel yucky in those moments.
Yes.
But they ultimately lead to those breakthroughs and those truly joyous experiences. And, you know, whether you are a teacher or an entrepreneur, or you try entrepreneurship and it's not quite right, all of those things are valid, and it's worth exploring, because it is a wonderful experience if it's the right thing for you. Because, of course, well, we have this illusion that we'd like to get rid of our bosses and our schedules and everything else. You never get rid of bosses, because you are really, as you move into entrepreneurship, your customers become your bosses, and you move from having, you know, bosses in a work situation to bosses in the world situation. And so another of the things that teachers will need to learn, or if they haven't already, is good boundaries. Because again, yeah, there's so many things to think about as a small business owner. You don't have to master them all to be successful in business. It is a journey. It is not something that you begin knowing everything that you're going to need to know. So while I do advise to make a plan and not jump too early, when you are making the decision to do this from a place of confidence, then, you know, make that decision and go with it, and it will work out in the end, one way or the other.
And that's the only way you can find out what you need to do. You have to take action and see what works. And if something doesn't work, adjust it or start over, whatever you need to do, and try again. And then that's when you're going to find out what's actually going to work. We can talk about that more later. I know I've already talked to you about coming back on the show. We've got a couple of topics that I was wanting to discuss, and I think I've discovered a couple more in the course of this conversation. So I'd like to thank you again so much for joining me and sharing your wealth of expertise with my audience.
My absolute pleasure. It is one of my things that brings me joy, is to help introduce people to the concept of being an independent entrepreneur. And for those who are creative in the process, I know that it can be a weird journey to find your tribe. So if that does apply to you, then do come and check out what we have to offer over at Paige the Puppet.
Absolutely. So thank you again so much. I appreciate not only you being on the show, but also for the time that you've spent mentoring me over the years. So you have a good day.
You too. Have an absolute amazing rest of the day.
Thank you. Over the past 2 decades, I've met and worked with dozens of successful entrepreneurs who have a heart for serving people just like you. I'm excited to gather them together this June for the virtual Be Your Own Boss Summit for Educators. Join us for the online business expertise, resources, and community you need to start, grow, and scale your business. Sign up so you don't miss out at rethinkyourlifestyle.com/BYOB.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Rethink Your Lifestyle podcast, where you learn how to be your own boss. Have questions about starting, growing, or scaling your business? You can ask us anything. Just fill out the form at www.rethinkyourlifestyle.com/askmeanything, and Michelle will answer your burning entrepreneurial questions in an upcoming episode. Also, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We'll catch you next time.